This is Cocktails Distilled, a podcast that takes your favourite spirits and liqueurs from the still to the cocktail glass. In each episode, we talk to distillers and creators about particular expressions that their brand have released, what they are, why they were created, and in what cocktails they can be used. Are you ready to understand what's in your glass, or perhaps should be? Welcome to Cocktails Distilled.
No matter whether you're distilling spirits or drinking them, we're all in search for flavour. But for distillers, there has been an increased movement towards blurring the lines of their spirit and finishing in the barrels of other spirits. We see whiskey finished in port barrels, gin finished in whiskey barrels, and, as in the case with Papa's Pillars latest release, rum is aged in rye barrels. Papa's Pillar, the ultra-premium rum brand, inspired by the legendary novelist Ernest Hemingway, has just released its fourth expression within its flagship fleet. Mixing master distiller Ron Call's two great loves, whiskey and rum, this rye-finished expression is very close to his heart. A seventh-generation distiller who made his name along the bourbon trail, Call brings his roots in the whiskey industry and his nuanced passion for rum to bear. To find out more, we talk to Call about barrels, blending flavours, and how experimentation is changing the nature of spirits. Thank you for joining us, Ron.
Appreciate you having us.
Now, the rye-finished expression has just been released. It could be said that this expression is a very personal one for you.
Yes, it is. The rye whiskey finish, I like using this number four char that I'm very familiar with. And plus the rye whiskey is exceptional in my opinion. So you kind of think in your mind how products are going to finish based on your experience. And so far, this rye finished dark rum is, I think it's very good. So
having come from a background in whiskey distilling, how different is it to distill rum to whiskey?
Distilling is very similar to a point. The fermentations are basically the same. You're fermenting the sugars into alcohol, and then and most rums are aged in used bourbon barrels, and bourbon whiskey has to be in a new white oak barrel. But it's in this case, the barrels I'm using are once used rye barrels, heavy charred. So.
Now, you've done a rye finished rum before in 2021 as part of your legacy editions. What makes this version of the expression different?
Actually, it's the age of the rye. The first release, it was a younger rye. This rye, the rye cooperage we're using today was basically a 9-year rye. And then we had some younger rye barrels in there also. But I think the biggest difference is the age of the rye whiskey that saturated that barrel. And we're pulling that out when we finish our dark rum in it.
And how does that change the rum?
Well, you know, the more you age, again, we got to go back to that barrel. With a number four char, you're actually penetrating the wood deeper.
Right.
You're going to get more vanilla notes and more color. And what we're doing here is those barrels, that's what we're using. And to be honest with you, that's the only difference I can see is the age of the rye in those barrels.
There seems to be a lot of finishing in other spirits or even wine barrels going on right now. Why do you think that it's so popular?
I think people are trying to put a new twist on their products. That's the only reason I can say doing it. Sometimes I don't understand why they do it, but in their case, we can really, really put a twist on ours, like our dark rum in the sherry or our dark rum in these rye barrels. I think we, with our suppliers and our experience, I think we've been hitting some home runs on what we've been doing. I really can't tell you why other folks have done it. Unless they want to be copycats. I don't know. So.
Tell us a little bit more about the barrels you sourced. Are they all coming from the same distilleries? How are you going about finding them?
Well, right now, I'm only using two sources, and I know them both very well. And I also know their suppliers. You got good suppliers and bad suppliers of cooperage, and I do know for sure what we're using comes from good suppliers. And the char levels, you can look at the char. They call it alligator, and you can look inside the barrels, and these are number fours. So.
And when you talk about there being bad suppliers out there, what do you mean?
I really didn't mean bad suppliers. Based on your experience, you know who the good suppliers are. I know the good suppliers, and I know who we spec in. There's nothing worse than getting a barrel of whiskey or whatever, and it's empty. So you just deal with them. It's based on history. I mean, and it's just like when you buy distillation equipment, you go to the people that you dealt with over the years.
You talked about the barrels being older rye barrels. How exactly does that change the flavor of the rum? Does it give it a depth to it, or?
It definitely gave it more depth than their previous release, because these barrels, like I said, that's 9-year product. And 9-year product, that wood's really saturated.
Mm.
And you're going to get more of that color and rye notes from that wood. Because, you know, if you could take a barrel stave and cut it in half, you can see how deep rye or bourbon penetrates that wood. And after 9 years, I'd say this wood was fairly penetrated. You know.
And how long does the rum spend in the rye barrels?
Well, it's kind of my decision, anywhere from 4 to 6 months. You got to balance this thing out. You don't want to lose your rum profile and replace it with too much of your rye.
Right.
So it's a balancing act based on experience. You know, everything's subjective. So the longer you've been around, you hope you know a little bit more than other folks. So.
Mm. It must be a little bit hard to judge, though, exactly when you take it out, I imagine.
It is difficult because it's a balancing act of your flavors that you're trying to. You want to get the oak and leave the rum profile. So it is a balancing act. And, it's subjective. But, again, it's based on experience. And then I'll let other folks give it a shot, too, and see what they think. So.
And speaking of other folks and what they think, what has the reaction to the expression been?
Well, most people think it's a very good product, but you can sip it if you want to, or you can. When I first looked at it, I said, "Man, this is going to make a great Manhattan." So we can either sip it, or I like a good Manhattan, and this product makes a very nice Manhattan.
I was about to ask actually that I assumed you would want people to initially be using it as a sipping rum,
yeah.
But is it a good rum for cocktails?
Well, I'm not a connoisseur of cocktails, but we do have I consider him like an expert, Kyle Cooper. He makes all kinds of drinks, but he recommended actually a Manhattan-type drink called a Hemi, I think it's what he calls it. But again, I've taken it to people, and they just drop an ice cube in it or just sip it straight.
If somebody was looking to use it in a cocktail, what other flavors do you think would work well with the rum?
Well, again, I wish I could honestly tell you. But personally, I wouldn't mix this product. I would either go straight on the rocks, neat, or a Manhattan-type drink.
Coming from a whiskey background, when you develop a rum, how do you approach it?
personally, I like rums that are medium bodied. They're not heavy in fusel or pot still characteristics. So all the rums we use, they're medium body. They're not, let's say they're not like a Jamaican style rum. Again, I would just classify these as medium to light bodied rums. And then in this case, this is a medium body rum that we finished in this, the rye barrel. Or later we do the sherry barrels, but.
Do you believe that there's the ability to experiment more with rum than there is with whiskey in the distillation?
Probably so, because rums are more light-bodied. Bourbons has more congeners in it, fusel oils, and flavor profiles, where rum is, it's got very nice notes, but it doesn't have the heavy fusel notes on the end. So I think you can do more balance with different cooperages or whatever. But I think it's why they make nice cocktails, because they are a lighter body product. Bourbons typically has got 220 or more grams per 100 liters of fusel oil, where rums, they're typically 40 to 50. So that makes them a whole lot lighter, you know, to blend out.
Right.
They're not overpowering in the drink, is what I'm saying. So.
Yeah. Do you think that this sort of blurring of lines with finishing is changing the nature of spirits?
Well, I don't think it's blurring the lines. I think it's creating some opportunities for folks, and I think it's opens the gates for other consumers. It's just like this product, you're going to have a select of people that really love this product. And then other people might not like it, but that's the same thing with any cocktail or distilled spirits. You either like it, you know. There's no right or wrong in this business. It's what you like.
As I mentioned earlier, the brand is inspired by Ernest Hemingway. How does this expression work in with that theme?
Well, I mean, Ernest, I wish I was as well-traveled as he was, but it kind of inspires you somewhat. You just try to make products that would probably meet his personal profile. So. That inspires you to a certain point. You know, he traveled all over the world. So a lot of the islands we get our rums from. So we try to look for some of those sources of rums. And there's a few other sources I like to get hold of that I know he's been there. So but a lot of times they're difficult to get hold of due to customs and transportation and things like that. So.
Okay. The expression is based on the brand's dark rum, which is a blend of 9 premium rums from all over the Caribbean. How do you decide which rums to incorporate?
Well, again, this is what I mentioned. I'm looking for medium body rums. They got quite a bit of esters in it, nice fruity notes. Some of them are like fruit, some are like vanilla notes and cocoa and coffee. So again, it's all based on experience based, and you kind of know how it's going to turn out before you do it.
Right.
When you put something together, you already kind of got a feeling that how it's going to finish, to be honest with you. And that's just because you've been doing it 49 years, so you should know something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I believe that the dark rum is created through a Solera system. Do you want to explain to people what that means exactly?
Well, the Solera is where we take our rums after we blend the 9 rums. Then we go through it's actually a bourbon barrel, and then we let it sit there for a period. Then we go to our port barrels and then our sherry cask. So we're always leaving some of our rums in each barrel as we move them along. But that's...
Because they're on levels, aren't they? And they sort of drip down or flow down like a waterfall almost.
Well, that's one of the processes. Ours isn't that complete, you know, like some people does. But we actually move the rums from barrel to barrel.
Oh, okay. And how quickly or slowly, or is that a case of every batch is different?
Every batch is different. And again, it's kind of up to my decision on how we want to do it. So.
Right. And why did you choose to produce it that way?
Well, I'll be honest with you. That's the way the process started when I joined the company, and we've been continuing ever since.
Now, you mentioned earlier the sherry expression. Did that go through a similar process to this one?
Yes, it does, yeah. Now, the sherry, I bring in their Olorosa sherry cask. I've been using the same supplier for about 7 years. And it's like we spoke about earlier, you go with people that that you know that give you the quality you're looking for. And you kind of got to... We don't go to brokers as such. We go straight to the horse's mouth and get our cash. So that's the way I want to do business, relationships.
Are there other barrel finishes that the brand is going to be experimenting with in the future?
Yeah, we got some in the works. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but I'll just...
Well, I was about to say, anything you can hint at us?
In fact, I just got some in today. Let's see. There's three varieties of a special wine cask I want to tinker with.
Okay.
And then I got some other barrels that we'll definitely probably go with. What we do, we bring in a couple test barrels. And see how it turns out before we jump into something.
Right. Yeah. And how long is that experimentation phase?
I like to fill the barrels with the product I think that fits the profile of the cask. And then anybody been in the business, I got a barrel thief. So I can sample the cask after they sit. Normally I start looking at them in 2 weeks, a month, 6 months, 3 months, whatever.
Okay.
So you're constantly sampling.
I suppose your experience allows you to get a fair gauge at that point.
Oh, yeah.
As to whether it's going to end up being.
Yeah, sometimes you hit a home run, sometimes you don't. But so far we've been doing pretty good. So,
with the rye expression particularly, what do you want people to take away from their experience with it?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I love to see people taste the products and just look at their expressions and get their thought process. And I just hope they enjoy it. That's it. You know. But I enjoy more watching people enjoy it. Sometimes I wish I had more time to enjoy it with other people instead of having to make it all the time.
Yes. Where is Papa's Pillar available? Is it available through all 50 states, or?
It's not in all 50, but they are expanding it. But let's see here. Bahamas, Canada, Czech Republic, Denmark, Greece, and Sweden. And I know we're in Michigan and some of the other states, but I don't have the complete list in front of me. I'm not in that side of it.
Right.
But we're expanding, I tell you that.
So it's both in the U.S. and also overseas as well.
That's correct. Yeah. We're in California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Missouri, New Hampshire, New York, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Washington.
And if people want more information, they can, of course, go to the brand's website, which is papaspillar.com, or connect with the brand via your socials.
Correct.
All right, Ron. Well, look, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us.
Well, I appreciate the conversation we had.
And we'd also like to thank you for listening. Be sure to visit cocktailsdistilled.com to access the show notes. And if you like what you've heard, we'd love you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on iTunes. Until next time, cheers.